Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. Well, here we are in a new year, the first show of 2013.
Happy New Year, Phil.
Yeah.
Happy New
Year to you, Steve.
All of our listeners, Happy
New
Year.
Yeah. So I hope you all had an awesome New Year's. This is Phil Gigliotti here with Stephen Garchar. And we're just, you know, recovering from our New Year's Eve revelry. Oh, no, no. My New Year's Eve revelry is pretty boring.
Yeah. Did you stay up and watch the ball game?
Well, no, no. I don't usually stay up that late.
No, I didn't.
No, I do.
I didn't either. I can't. I have church services.
Weren't we doing an all-night Bible study? Oh, no, no, no. Anyway, good to be back with you.
Yes, it is.
And it's good to be in a brand new year. And, yeah, after a very, very kind of sad end to 2012 with the events in Connecticut and some of the things we talked about last week. And it was 2012 seemed like a very long kind of, painful year on a lot of different fronts.
Yeah.
Very sober. Weather changes and, the election. And so we'll see what 2013 brings. But, you know, if you listen to the show last week, you know, we're still pretty much in the same predicament that we were last week.
Yeah. Yes, we are.
Yeah. At least for a while. And,
well, we haven't seen any movement yet. We don't know. There might have been some movements that we haven't heard about.
That's right. So. That's right. And we know that God is sovereign and he's still sitting on the throne and things are going to happen according to the plan. And
that is true.
Yeah. And we can't make the plan or influence the plan. But we can work with the plan and work in the plan.
We have to work. We have to cooperate with God's grace.
Cooperate. Exactly. Exactly. Cooperate with the grace. And we're his,
the gift of grace.
Wow, that'd be a great radio show.
That would be a great radio show.
It would, and a good ministry. So if you'd like Gift of Grace Ministries to come to your church and do something, call quick because our calendar is filling up. We can be there in an hour if you call now.
well, we're probably about 2 hours, so we've got to finish the show
first. Oh, yeah, that's
right.
Yeah, unless you're calling from Jacksonville or somewhere. It may take us a while to get there. Anyway, so here we are. It's the beginning of January. It's a brand new year, and we like having fun on this show, too. And
yes, we do. You have to be able to laugh.
Yes, you really do, and the Lord likes us to have joy and have a good sense of humor. And we know the Lord, and we know his law, and we know his word, and so we can feel joyful in that.
Exactly.
And it's always good to laugh. Anyway, here we are.
It's good for the heart.
It's good for the heart.
It's good for the mind, and it's good for the soul.
Yes. This time of year is usually, in most Christian traditions, is called the Epiphany.
Yes.
You know, it comes from a really cool Greek word. I don't remember the exact pronunciation, but it means like a manifestation, something being revealed.
Mm-hmm.
And what was being revealed was the Christ child.
Yes.
The baby, Jesus of Nazareth. And we're going to do some readings, but you know, it's really, what I sometimes can't get out of my mind is something the Lord showed me a year or so ago when I was thinking about Christmas and Epiphany. And that was when you go back to the book of Exodus and Moses wanted to see the glory of God and God said, you can't do that and put him in a cleft of the rock and covered him and saw a little bit of his glory. And he was a very faithful servant.
Mm-hmm.
And Isaiah saw some of the God's glory and came apart at the seams and said, no, I can't. Oh, man, I'm doomed now.
Yeah.
And
well, after that guy touched the ark and dropped dead, I think it was like,
yeah. Well, Mr. Uzzah.
Yeah. Like, uh-oh. I saw the glory of God. That's it.
Mr. Uzzah. Yeah. And it's interesting. And because of all those things that happened and God was so holy and so unapproachable that we can't even see his glory because the way we're wired, if we saw his full glory, we would just die. He said to Moses, you'll die if you see my glory.
Yeah.
And yet a couple of weeks ago when we celebrated Christmas. Sorry.
What calendar are you on? That whole Mayan thing messed you up.
That's right. The Mayan apocalypse got me all messed up.
Goodness.
Anyway, a couple of weeks ago when we celebrated Christmas, I think that's what it was, you know, it's in that crib in Bethlehem was this little baby in this messy place with these two people, his mother and Joseph, her husband, in this place where there were animals, presumably there was an animal crib, and this baby who was laying in the manger was a human baby by all appearances.
Mm-hmm.
And he was crying and doing all the things that babies do.
Yep.
She had pain delivering this baby because, you know, as Paul writes in the book of Galatians, he was born of a woman, born under the law, and born just like everybody else. And yet Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1 that the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him.
Yeah.
So here, this baby, when you looked at this baby's face, you saw the glory of God in a human baby who was Jesus of Nazareth.
Yeah.
So Moses couldn't see it, and Isaiah couldn't bear it, and David looked forward to it, and all the prophets looked forward to it.
Yep.
And here was Mary, Joseph, and this baby, angels singing, light going on, then shepherds come, they look at this baby, and they see the glory of God in its fullness. In this human baby.
Yeah. The shepherds see the multitude of the heavenly host praising God and singing glory to God in the highest. And yeah, God is revealed to us in this innocent little child.
Yeah.
Whose name is Emmanuel.
Yeah.
God with us. Jesus, Jesus, you know, whatever language you speak.
Yeshua.
And
that's what his mother called him.
That's what I hear. I've heard about that a couple of times. And there is the glory of God revealed in his son.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Jesus would later say, you know, others long to see what you see.
Yes, exactly.
You know.
And hear what you hear.
And Simeon was told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the salvation of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The anointed one.
Exactly.
He looks upon him and he says, Lord, now you can let your servant go in peace.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, this is amazing. And it's, you know, Simeon's one of those people and that just, I really like it. I like to meet him too pretty soon because, you know, here's this guy. He's not going to die until he sees the Messiah. The Holy Spirit's promised them this. I mean, this is
if
really
you stay
good.
On his good side, he might be there first at the pearly gates to Yay. Meet you and let you in and get you past all those other people.
Hey, did you hear that, Simeon? I really like meeting you and stuff. And, you know, I don't know how old he was, but it says he was kind of old.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the other one, Anna, the prophetess, you know, we hear all those details about if she married and died and all this stuff. I don't know why all that stuff's there. But Simeon's just like there.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit tells him he's not going to die till he sees the Messiah. He's going to see the consolation of Israel.
Yeah.
Which is a great term. You know, it's the consolation of Israel. This is what we've been waiting for. This is going to be the answer to the problem of sin, the problem of people not being able to keep the law. It's going to be the solution to the problem of guilt. It's going to be the solution to all the things. It's going to be the consolation of Israel. And Jesus is the consolation of Israel, Yeshua the Messiah. And most Israelis, unfortunately, don't know that, but he's the consolation. And Simeon was told supernaturally by the Holy Spirit that he was not going to die till he saw this. And he knew, you know, studying the scriptures, you know, he had this word from the Spirit, and he also knew that studying the scriptures and particularly the prophet Daniel, he kind of knew the time of the Messiah was coming pretty close. And when Mary and Joseph take the baby to the temple, which would have been on day 40, because when you give birth to a boy baby, you go on day 40. When you give birth to a girl baby, you go on day 66.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus was a boy baby. So on the 40th day, Mary and Joseph take him to the temple. Now, this is really cool because there's many prophecies that say the Messiah is going to suddenly come to the temple. And, you know, it's in Daniel and it's, I think, in some other books I don't have in front of me now, but Malachi, that's the other one I was trying to think of. It's in Malachi. I think it's in chapter 3, but the Messiah suddenly is going to come to the temple. Well, the day of the presentation, since we're talking about Simeon, the Messiah suddenly came to the temple.
Exactly.
Palm Sunday, the Messiah suddenly came to the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And Simeon was kind of the, you know, was in the forefront of this because he knew it was coming close. And, you know, I always think he was, you know, going around having his usual day and he was having coffee and reading the paper and the Holy Spirit says, he's on his way to the temple. You got to get up there right away. And Simeon, you know, left his Starbucks, left the paper, and he went tearing up the Temple Mount because he knew he was going to see the consolation of Israel. He was going to see the Messiah.
They had Starbucks back then?
They did.
Wow.
And, you know, it's this consolation of Israel, the messenger of the new covenant was going to be there.
Yeah.
A 40-day-old baby.
Yeah.
And Simeon goes in there, and what does he do? He takes the baby right out of Mary's arms. Now, man, you know, if you were going there with your 40-day-old baby.
Yeah.
And some old man came and took the baby out of your arms, you'd say, hey, get out of here.
Nowadays, you'd call the police.
Oh, yeah, you'd call the police. So Simeon takes this baby. He can't wait to hold this baby. He's been waiting for the Messiah. He wants to be physically connected to the Messiah.
Yeah.
And what's really cool, he says, okay, now I can die. I've seen the salvation. Yeah. Now I can die. And, you know, he says, this is the glory of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
The glory. We said before the glory was in the baby's face. Yeah. This is the glory of Israel. And he's going to be a light to the Gentiles. So Simeon, this guy, is such an amazing prophet because he says, here's the glory of Israel. There's nobody in Israel like this. This is what this Israel thing has been all about, was this baby now who's going to be the eternal sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also going to be a light to the Gentiles because the plan of salvation, of course, is not for the Jews only, but for us as well. So he does this amazing prophecy. Yeah. I love this guy. And even though Mary's probably, and Mary was actually standing there going, she was like, didn't know what to say. Cause you know, he talks to her as well and says, mm-hmm. Oh, you know, the sword's going to pierce your heart because he's going to be responsible for the rising and falling of many in Israel.
Yeah.
Because he's also prefiguring what Paul's going to say much later, that the gospel's an offense to people. And that when this baby grows up and he starts preaching the kingdom, there's going to be people that don't like it. And there's going to be people that are going to be offended. And there's going to be people that are going to go after him. And so she was going to be pierced by sadness. And this Simeon has all these prophecies. He was in such an amazing position that, you know, Moses didn't even have what Simeon had.
Yeah.
You know, Moses, you know, you're going to go to the land, but you're not going in. You know, there's the land. Now you're going to die before you get there.
Yeah.
He actually holds the baby in his hands and doesn't die because that's what he's been promised by the Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when you're talking about that, I'm going to read from Luke chapter 3 here, where he talks to Joseph and Mary. This is after he is seen. He says, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel."
Mm.
The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. There was also a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Peniel, and the tribe of Asher, and she was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband and after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84, she never left the temple but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer." Wow.
Yeah.
So Simeon's telling Mary and Joseph, this child is going to be the destiny.
Yeah.
For the fall and rise of many in Israel.
Yeah. Yeah. in the consolation of Israel. And,
yeah.
you know, it shows how this whole, you know, we always talk about the plan of salvation going through the whole scriptures. And before time, before anything was created, this plan was already in place. And Isaiah, the great prophet, said, you know, the Gentiles are going to wait for him. You know, people who don't know him are going to know him.
Yeah.
You know, people who haven't heard of him are going to hear of him.
Yeah.
And it's going to be for the Jews and it's going to be for the Gentiles. And here it was. Here was the plan now in human form that not only was Israel going to be glorified, but the Gentiles were going to know his salvation.
Yeah.
And even though the heredity, as we always talk about, was a Jewish one, it was going to be for everyone.
Right.
And, you know, Paul later, of course, is going to be the apostle to the Gentiles, is going to tell about this. And, you know, he's going to be responsible for things rising up and things being torn down. The covenant of the law is going to become the covenant of grace.
Mm-hmm.
And the hopelessness and the sin and the slavery is going to be broken.
Yeah.
But he's also going to be the stone of stumbling. It says in so many places. And so Simeon really puts all this thing together.
Yeah.
And just like today, there were people that were for him and there were people that were against him.
Mm-hmm.
And Simeon, man, the Holy Spirit reveals all this to him. And he says all this while he's holding the baby. I just think that's really awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. And, you know, there's, as you said, there's places where it's revealed that God says, you know, I'm laying a foundation stone that'll be a stumbling block for many.
Yeah.
You know, for the Jews.
Yes.
And but not all.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. And we were talking about, you know, last week and earlier, we were talking about how things are in our society. Now, to people like us, he's a sanctuary. He's a fortress. Mm-hmm. To people that are out there, he's a stumbling block. Mm-hmm. It's an offense.
Yeah.
It's like they don't want it. They're going to trip over it.
Exactly.
They don't want to know about it.
Yep.
And it was the same. I mean, it's even more marked now, but it's the same as it was then. Either you're with him or you're not with him. Jesus himself later says, you know, you're either for me or you're against me.
Right.
There's not a gray area.
There's no gray matter there.
Right.
Yeah. We like the gray matter area in our culture.
Exactly.
It's really not.
Exactly. Matter. And this, Simeon, I mean, this is really awesome. Because now he says, now I can die. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen stuff Moses wanted to see. I've seen stuff David wanted to see. I've seen stuff all the prophets wanted to see. And all he's done is hold a 40-day-old baby.
Yeah.
So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's really remarkable that when Mary and Joseph take Jesus to be presented into the temple for the presentation, that this transpires.
Yeah. Ooh, it's a break. Here comes Paul Wilbur. He's back after celebrating New Year's. This is Gift of Grace Ministries. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
To him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb, be wisdom, honor, and the power. Amen. The Spirit and the bride say, come. To the Lamb, the living water and the risen Son, who was and is to come. Let every tribe and every tongue lift up the voice and praise the Holy One. Try and every time.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. And Happy New Year. Oh, yeah, we already did that part.
Well, thank you.
Anyway, so that was Simeon. Pretty neat. But, you know, the scripture doesn't tell us much about what happened between the birth in Bethlehem and this presentation. So those 40 days or 39 and a half days. We don't really know exactly what was going on.
If only there was Facebook.
Exactly.
Because then they would, they could have posted everything online.
Yeah.
It would have been.
Yeah, that's right. And, we don't know exactly when the wise men, the magi came. You know, there's a lot of, obviously they would have come on a long journey, so they probably wouldn't have been in the nativity scene that you have at your house or at your church.
Do you think they had GPSs back then?
Probably not.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the other thing about certain nativity scenes, I won't mention the names of any places, but they really got to get away from all the characters having blonde curly hair and big blue eyes. Because it didn't take place in northern Germany. Anyway, remember, the Bible's a book about Middle Easterners. And anyway, but we do know that during this time, something else would have happened because Mary and Joseph were observant and would have followed the law.
Yes.
Jesus followed the law. So at the eighth day, he would have been circumcised.
Yes.
And he would have been given his name.
Yes.
We don't know who did the circumcision. We don't know if they called a rabbi. We don't know if they called somebody who knew how to do it. We don't know exactly. But we know that at the eighth day, the law said the boy is circumcised and given his name. Mm-hmm. And we saw this with John the Baptist when we talked about him, whenever it was, 2, 3, 4 weeks ago. So we know that he was given the name that the angel told Mary.
Yes.
That his name was going to be Jesus. His name was going to be Yeshua, which means God saves. It's salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So as some people say, his name is also his job description. He saves.
That is true.
Yes. And we know that, as it says in Galatians, we talked about earlier, that he was born of a woman, born under the law. And this is for our sake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to keep in mind that this is for our sake.
This is God's plan.
I mean, the Godhead doesn't really have any benefit to himself to be born of a woman, born under the law.
Right.
This is for us.
I mean, he was from all eternity.
Yes, exactly. And he followed the law. And this is another example that the angel tells Mary before he's actually conceived, before he's conceived, that she's going to bear a son. So he's going to be a boy and his name is going to be Yeshua, Jesus. So now he's physically there. You have to, in order to do a circumcision and give a name, you have to, in fact, have a physical little boy there. it wasn't a cosmic appearance.
Right.
It wasn't a vision of some glowing being that You can't circumcise a glowing being.
Right.
So this was a very real human being. It was real flesh. You know, in Romans 8:3, it's Paul says that, you know, he had the likeness of sinful flesh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was a baby boy. And, you know, he becomes subject to the law while he's here. You know, right down to he takes on, by doing the circumcision, he takes on the sign of the covenant because he's a Jewish man.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes on the sign of the covenant and he's officially given his name.
You know, it's interesting as you're saying that, he came to deliver those, he was born under the law to
right.
deliver those who were subjected
yes,
to it.
Exactly.
And he himself was subjected to it.
Exactly. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely awesome.
He wasn't above
yes,
the law.
Exactly. He subjected himself to it.
Because he
was the author of it.
He was the author of it, and he fulfilled the law.
Yes.
You know, the law wasn't fulfilled until there was a remedy for it.
That's right.
A remedy to be reconciled with God.
Yes. Yes. And it was all for our sake. And,
right.
and this is like we talked about before, when Gabriel tells Mary that she's going to name the boy Jesus, that name is picked for very significant reasons. It's not a random selection of a name God liked or a name Gabriel liked. Or here's a list of names, pick which one you think is nice.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a very specific thing which talks about his plan.
Mm-hmm. There is a lot in the name.
Yeah, exactly. And interestingly, too, is it's written in the Torah that every male who opens the womb is going to be called holy to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty neat. That's in Exodus 13, too. So, you know, they're going to be a... this is a very special thing because the first baby's dedicated to the Lord. And
right.
so you have to go when we talked about Simeon and the presentation in the temple, the other thing that Mary would have been thinking, this is a firstborn. It's the first male that's opened the womb. I mean, she doesn't know what's going to happen.
Right.
He has to be dedicated to the Lord. And, oh, by the way, you know, the angel told me that, you know, this is going to be a really special baby and it's going to be God's son. And I mean, how do you put all this together in your mind?
Yeah.
If you're 16 or 17 year old Mary.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty hard to put all this together.
Even if you are, you know, even if you are going to temple, even if you do know this, the Torah and the law, it's still.
Exactly.
A lot to.
Yeah.
Really process.
Exactly.
I would think. Yeah.
And when you think about it too, when the people were delivered from Egypt, there was a curse on the firstborn of Egypt, and the firstborn died.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Hebrews, with the Israelites, the firstborn gets dedicated to the Lord.
Right.
Which is pretty neat. So, you know, this is... Mary could not possibly have understood all these things.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know what she thought. It doesn't say everything. Joseph doesn't really say much about this. Doesn't say anything about this. We don't know what they were thinking.
Not much is recorded.
I mean, they had to be talking to each other while they were going to the temple. They
mm-hmm.
had to be. But, you know, this whole thing about he's going to be presented to the Lord, and there's supposed to be a sacrifice, you know?
Right.
There's supposed to be, you know, they do a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, actually, is what's in Exodus 13:2. If you can't afford to do a lamb, if you can't afford to do the real offering, you can give a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons.
Mm-hmm.
So they must not have had the gold from the wise men yet because they did the turtle dove thing.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Probably not.
Yeah. So again, he submits to the law. Again, he submits to the covenant. And he comes to, you know, when you're presented in the temple, you know, there's some ceremony and there's a priest there, a Levitical priest. And so here's the eternal high priest who comes from the Father, who's now presented to the Father by a human Levitical priest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, you know, you can go around and around with this because the whole intricacies of it are so mind-boggling to think that this Levitical priest who happened to be on duty that day, you know, picks up the eternal high priest and offers him to God.
Yeah. And he wasn't, and the Messiah wasn't to be from the tribe of Levi.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And, you know, he's presented to the Father from, you know, from which he had just come.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you can go through these things.
You know, it really speaks to, we were talking about this before the show, is that how God's ways are not our ways.
Right.
You know, that there's things that are in salvation history in the scriptures and even in the history of the church the last 2,000 years that we think about and we go, wow, that doesn't really make any sense to us.
Yes.
But God's plan is sovereign. And, it was stated that the Messiah would not be from the Levitical priest.
That's right.
Would.
That's right.
And
he'd be the Lion of Judah.
Yeah. And, you know, you see that there is going to be a stumbling block.
Mm-hmm.
Because things aren't as man sees them to be.
Yes.
Things are as God sees them to be.
Amen.
You know, so it's, as we talk about some of this, sometimes I think, wow, okay, Jesus wasn't from the tribe of Levi. And yet all the priests were from the Levitical, you know, the tribe of Levi. And how that would have, you know, the Pharisees.
Yeah.
How that affected them.
Yes.
Okay, we're the priests. We're, you know, as you say, we got all this stuff. We're doing all
the holy guys.
We're the holy guys. We're doing all this stuff. And here comes this baby from the tribe of Judah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The priest? The great high priest?
Yeah.
What about us?
But at this point, you know, when he's a 40-day-old baby, it just dawned on me as we're talking about this, about the priest there would have been involved in some kind of a ceremony.
Right.
I don't know exactly what it was, but it was some kind of a ceremony. And, you know, this priest probably is holding the baby, presenting him to the Lord, and doesn't realize who he's holding.
Mm-hmm.
So here's Mary and Joseph with their boy. Isn't he cute?
Yeah.
And he doesn't realize what he's doing.
Yeah.
Presenting the eternal high priest to the Father.
Yeah.
I mean, it's mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they make an offering according to the law, because all righteousness had to be fulfilled. You know, even Jesus said that to John the Baptist. You know, you have to do this so that all righteousness will be fulfilled.
Yeah,
because everything had to be followed. And it's Leviticus 12, not Exodus 2, but about the lamb. You're supposed to bring a yearling lamb for the sacrifice when you present a son.
Yeah.
So they presented the turtle doves because they didn't have a yearling lamb.
Yeah.
And it's mind-boggling that all these things are fulfilled. And then the other interesting thing is, you know, looking back, I was just thinking about Samuel when his mother Hannah took him to the tent. At that time, there was no temple, and left him with the high priest Eli. And she had promised the Lord that if he gave her a son, she was going to leave the boy in the service of the Lord all his life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in 1 Samuel at the beginning. So as soon as he was weaned, she packed up all his stuff, took his diapers, his little PJs and all his little clothes and took him over. And then he stayed with Eli the whole rest of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus did not stay in the temple. Kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't, Mary and Joseph didn't say, well, here we have this boy and we want to dedicate him to the Lord so you guys can keep him here and teach him and he can be in the temple all the time.
Yeah.
He went and lived a normal life.
Yeah.
You know, like the first chapter of John, you know, he became flesh and dwelt among us. He experienced what the people were doing and lived in a place other than the holy city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, watched his foster father Joseph working in the carpenter shop and learned the trade and listened to the neighbors bickering with each other and, you know, played with the other kids and
gossiping about the other neighbors.
Yeah.
All that
went to the synagogue on the Shabbat and said stuff that everybody probably turned and said, how does that little kid know that? Boy, Mary's baby's really smart.
He is.
But It's kind of interesting. He didn't stay in the temple. He went out and lived with people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was the eternal God. You know, when he was born, you know, angels were singing and all these things were going on in this humble little place.
Yeah.
Among people. You know, he goes from the temple at this presentation to go back to where Mary and Joseph lived.
Mm-hmm.
Just to live a normal life.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of, well, not it is kind of, it is quite remarkable how God's plan of salvation unfolds, and that these things are revealed, but yet we marvel at the revelation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, it's well, gosh, I wouldn't think of doing it that way.
Exactly. You know? And, we would never make this plan.
Yeah.
Our plan would be that Mary, being pregnant with the Messiah, would have checked into a very nice, clean hospital and had the baby, or maybe had the baby at the temple so that all the Pharisees and the priests could be there, and it would be kind of a natural place for the Messiah to live in the temple.
Yeah.
But no, it's a stable, it's a carpenter shop, it's some kind of little house somewhere in Nazareth, and also because of, we're talking about how he subjects himself to the law, who's the author of the law, and he subjects himself to it. He's the author of flesh, and he subjects himself to the limitations of the flesh. You know, he got tired. He had to sleep.
Yes.
You know, she had to change his diaper. He cried.
He had to feed him.
He saw stuff happen and got sad. He saw stuff happy and got, saw things happen and got happy. You know, he probably went with his mother and Joseph to places, and you know, they talked along the way and told stories, and he laughed, and he, I mean, those aren't recorded in the scriptures, but you know, it had to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's everyday life.
It's everyday life. And that's, he lived everyday life in subjection to all these things.
Yeah. And you know, as you're talking about it, how all this comes about, that this, you know, this child, anybody knows an infant is helpless. It can't survive on its own.
Yeah.
God, I mean,
for a long time.
For a long time. That's what's so awesome. You know, so amazing to me is that I think about this whenever I think about it, I'm just like, wow, God placed his own son in the care of two human beings that he would grow up and live.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, amazing that he chose to do this this way. And, you know, we're talking about things that, you know, we wouldn't have seen doing this, or we wouldn't think of doing this, or the plan unfolding a different way. You know, what comes to mind is when Herod assembles the chief priests and the scribes. You know, now here, and this is in Matthew chapter 2. And it says, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage. And when King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, in Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it has been written through the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Now, is it, now, I always find this amazing that when Herod asked the chief priests and the scribes about this, they know where to look.
Exactly.
And they tell him, well, he's going to be from Bethlehem in Judah. Because it says so.
Yes.
But yet he's a stumbling block to them.
Yeah.
He's a stumbling block to the religious leaders.
That's right. And here comes these Gentiles from the east.
Yeah. Who are going to pay him.
They know where he is.
Who are going to do him homage.
Yeah, that's right. You know, they saw his star in the east, and the people that he came to, his own people, are there and don't have a clue what's going on.
Yeah.
In fact, they're hostile about what's going on. You know, Herod doesn't know.
Oh, man.
You know, Herod is a, you know, one of these puppet kings that the Romans set up. And, you know, all he's worried about is he's got a great job here.
Yeah.
He's got,
hey, I'm king over here.
As long as he doesn't interfere with the Romans, he's got this great political job with a good income and anything he wants. And so he doesn't want to hear about somebody being king of the Jews because he's supposed to be the king.
Exactly.
Yeah. So. Ooh. Oh, no, it's the break already. Oh, this is an awesome song. Remember, find us on giftofgraceministries.org and look for us on Facebook. We're going to listen to an awesome song from Paul Wilbur. We'll be right back.
All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. Like incense as we magnify the sun. Mighty God of Israel, Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Even so. Together we come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight. Even so, Yeshua, come. All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Wait, we're always in the final part of the show.
I know.
And we always have, like, so much more stuff to do. Anyway, since we're talking about the Magi, the wise men, whatever you want to call them, I'm not sure why they're called three kings, but I don't think they were kings. But anyway, let's just call them Magi. Steve, why don't you read an awesome thing from our... friend Isaiah again.
This is from Isaiah chapter 60. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. Raise your eyes and look about. They all gather and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow, for the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. The wealth of the nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you, dromedaries from Midian and Ephah, all from Seba shall come, bearing gold and frankincense, and proclaiming the praises of the Lord.
Wow. So Isaiah prophesies the three wise men coming.
Yeah.
You know, they're called astrologers.
Dromedaries.
You know, dromedaries group, you know, coming on camels, bringing stuff. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And they're Gentiles. You know, these three guys, if there's three, it doesn't say there's three, but there's three gifts. So let's assume there's three, since that's kind of a common thing.
Right.
There might have been five with three gifts. Maybe they all put money together and got three gifts.
Yeah.
Anyway, there might be 12. No. But anyway, let's say there's three.
Good point.
But one thing is for sure, these guys weren't Jews. They were Gentiles.
Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty sure. And they were from pretty far away.
They weren't from like some outpost?
Well, I don't know. No, they're Gentiles.
All right, they're Gentiles.
They're Gentiles. And they're coming. So, like you said, you know, the Jews who were in the city didn't even know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But these three Gentiles show up, and there's no question in their mind that he's been born.
Yeah.
They say, where is he? They don't say, like, has he been born yet? Or, you know, we know that there's a Messiah coming, a king of Israel coming. Where is he? You know, has he been born yet? They know that he's been born. They say, where is he? There's no question in their mind. And, you know, they want to go where Christ is, you know, and right. We should be like that too.
Right.
And, you know, there's people fumbling around that know something and they want to go to where it is, and we have to help them. You know, Herod didn't do it because he was too self-centered. We have to show people where Christ is.
Exactly.
Herod wouldn't do that because, you know, he was a puppet. He was interested in his own business. And, you know, he even knew, well, he didn't know personally, but when he calls the people together, the wise men, the scholars, the scribes together and say, where's the Messiah going to be born?
Mm-hmm.
They don't say, oh, wait a minute. Let me go look that up. I'm not really sure. Let me Google that.
Yeah.
They know exactly what the prophet Micah says. There's going to be Bethlehem.
Yeah.
And they don't hesitate to tell him. And they know from that prophecy that he's going to be the son of David. So they know the prophecy. So, you know, this Herod then, you know, he covers his evil intent with, you know, kind of a false religion. Oh, when you find him, come back and let me know so I can go worship him too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's very, very demonic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting too, you know, they go to Bethlehem. Or they go to where he is, we assume it's Bethlehem, but nobody from Jerusalem goes with them.
Right.
I mean, Herod doesn't say, oh, let me come with you guys.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. Or the Pharisees don't say, oh, yeah, yeah, you know what? We want to come with you guys and see what this is. They just mm-hmm. go themselves. And that always struck me as being kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the star guides them there because, you know, we know supernaturally that we have to be drawn to Christ by God himself. You know, we don't find him on our own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're shown where he is.
Yeah.
Supernaturally.
Yeah.
And then when they see the child, they rejoice.
Yeah.
And they give the pictures. You know, when you find Christ, you rejoice. Mm-hmm. You say, well, I've been looking for this.
Yeah.
Now here he is.
Yeah. And they see a star.
Yeah.
And they knew to follow it.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
It is. It's really amazing because they had, you know, would they have any understanding or knowledge of the of the Hebrew scriptures, of the Torah?
Well, they must have. You know, in Numbers 24:17, there's a prophecy about this. It says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. It talks about a star is going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind of looking for this. When they saw the star, they knew what it was, which is kind of interesting.
Right.
So maybe they knew the Hebrew scriptures. Maybe mm-hmm. they were supernaturally, you know, got a word of knowledge that they were going to see the star.
God revealed it to him, yeah.
Because the whole thing is, he's now revealed to the Gentiles. You know, it's like later on when Jesus is preaching and it says some Greeks came and said to Philip, they want to see Jesus. And Philip goes, whoa. So then Jesus has an interesting response. He goes, oh, now I know my time is near. He's being revealed to Gentiles.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting. So we don't know. You know, we'll find out when we get to heaven. We don't know exactly where these guys came from. You know, Arabia or, I don't know, somewhere. And it would have taken them a while to get there.
By camel, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the camel highways were probably not the fastest.
That's right.
You know, traveling.
And, you know, we always see the magi and the nativity scenes, but that's probably not quite right. Unless, you know, they were in the stable for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know. And, you know, one thing is Herod's troubled by this because he doesn't want these scriptures to be fulfilled because he doesn't like all this talk about kings
right.
and rulers in Israel. And, you know, it's a matter of, he's worried about his own self. And interestingly, too, when these guys get to Bethlehem and they see this situation, they see the child and his mother, but they didn't care that he was in this poor place or, you know, they were living in some squalor and these guys were rich. They rejoiced when they saw the child and left the gifts.
Yeah, they didn't say, wait, we're not at the palace?
What?
We're not at the...
Exactly.
Well, yeah. I mean, they said, it says, you know, and behold, the star that they were seeing at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. They opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you'd think, you know, Herod wasn't really very far from Bethlehem. Why didn't he see where the star went?
Yeah, he wasn't looking for it.
I was wondering about, that's right, he wasn't looking for it.
He wasn't looking for it.
Yeah, he's worried about himself. And it's interesting, too, that there's a prophecy in Genesis 49:10 that says, when the scepter departs from Judah, the Messiah is going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And now the scepter had departed from Judah because the Romans were in control, and they put this puppet Herod in place.
Mm-hmm.
And so the rulers of the area were not, you know, normal Israelites. They were Romans.
Yeah.
So the time for Messiah was then. Oh, I can't believe it's the end of the show.
And you got more to say.
I got a lot more to say. Wow. Well, thanks for listening, and I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just ask that you would keep us in prayer and have an awesome week, everyone. And we'll see you next week on The Gift of Grace. God bless. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.